2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. I've got a few more lessons out of this passage here I want to give to you. It says, verse 14, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you." And I want you to notice verse 18. We're going to kind of head in that direction today. "Ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." And one of the greatest things that God has ever just really opened my eyes to in the Scriptures is the idea and the concept of being designated and being called and being born again as a son of God. And I tell you what, I've gotten great strength out of that. I've gotten great encouragement out of that. It also is a responsibility that we have. We are bearing the Lord's name. We ought not bring shame to our Father. Somebody say amen. So anyway, and I'm going to be dealing with that a little bit later on this morning. But I have been dealing with this idea of opposites. And they don't mix. It's like oil and water. They don't mix. It's like fire and water. They don't mix. Okay? And so all through here, you've got you and unbelievers. You're not to be yoked together. You're not to have righteousness and unrighteousness together. You don't put light and darkness together. It doesn't work. Christ and Belial, which is the devil, he's given many names in the Bible: the dragon, Satan, the serpent, Leviathan, the fiery flying serpent, Belial here. The word Bel, B-E-L, makes that part of Belial. Bel is Baal from the Old Testament. Okay? So you know who you're dealing with. When God accused them of worshiping Baal, who were they worshiping? Belial. Satan. Okay? They were just outright worshiping Satan. And so anyway, what part hath he believed of an infidel means someone that's unfaithful. They don't believe. There's no Christian atheist alliance that I'm aware of, or should not be. I'm sure there is somewhere, but there should not be one. The temple of God, there are no idols in this place. There are no statues of Jesus or Mary or anything like that for us to fall down to. We're not burning incense to them. Had a man come up Friday night and hug my neck after the message, and he bawled on my shoulder for quite a while. He's just an old man dressed up in bib overalls. And he come up to me and he just thanked me and he said, "God bless you." He said, "I've just learned so much this week." He said, I can't remember it all. And I gave him some DVDs of things I had done the last two nights. I said, "Just go through and watch them slowly." And he said, "I grew up Roman Catholic," and he said, "that just God convicted me that wasn't right. Bound before them statues wasn't right." Here, I mean, this man was just of no consequence as far as he wasn't Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton. He wasn't a Hollywood actor, wasn't a big CEO, wasn't a big lawyer or doctor. He's just an old farmer wearing bib overalls to church. And he said, "God just pulled me, yanked me right out of that Catholic church." And he said, "I gave my life to Jesus Christ." He said, "I'm a relatively new Christian and don't know much, but he said, I'm just overflowing this week." And I tell you what, I praise God over that. And I guess that's why I feel so bad. In fact, I know it is. That's why I feel so bad today and felt bad yesterday is when you get people telling you how good you are, it ain't good, ain't healthy for too long. You need to be brought back down. Okay? God always has a way with me, and I know it, and He knows it, and I knew it would come. And so anyway, I'll take it. But anyway, you cannot have idols. In Ezekiel 14, we learned that, I think, last Sunday. You can't put idols in your heart. And people will hide idols in their heart. They'll hide worship things in their heart where they think nobody can see them, but God knows they're there. And of course, all of that to me is a setup to what's coming down the road. The man of sin is going to dwell in the temple of God. And that temple, my friends, is our body. That's what the Bible says. Know you not that your body is the temple? And it's like the ultimate form of devil possession. Okay? Mankind is going to yoke himself to devils, and it's going to be an iron yoke, and it's going to be an unbreakable yoke. Man is going to seal his own doom with that. Over here, I got it up. Do I have it up on the screen? It works again. Praise the Lord. Let me read these two verses to you out of Deuteronomy. Verses 9 through 11, then verse 5. And I'm just going to cover a couple things very quickly and we're going to move on. Thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with diverse seeds. Okay? Don't just take tomato, radishes, cucumber, lettuce, seeds. Take a big wad of it and throw it out in your garden or your vineyard, and God says that's out of order. Don't do that. Lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled. Thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. That right there, you have the exact literal meaning of being yoked together with an unbeliever. If an ox and an ass are not going to plow together, one is going to override the other. Okay? And if the ox's will is against the ox is going to win by sheer strength and power. So God showed us even in the law that it doesn't work. Thou shalt not wear a garment of diverse sorts, as of a woolen and linen together. Why was God so particular about that? And it represents mingling things together. And God said, you're not to mingle. He said, you're going to come out of Babylon if I have to grab you by the neck, like those angels did Lot and his family. If I have to grab you by the neck and jerk you out, you're going to come out of Babylon. That's all there is to it. And then in verse 5, and this really is coming home to roost now in America. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Now, I don't get extremely particular about what you guys wear, what you ladies wear. Okay? I don't see myself as being the garment police for everybody that comes to church here. Because if I can change your clothes, somebody else years later will change them back, or you'll change them back. If God changes you, that's it. When God changes you, you're changed. And you're that way forever. And I believe that a woman should look like a woman when she presents herself. I think a man should look like a man when he presents himself. And I can't just dissect what every piece of clothing is a do or a don't for everybody. But it's kind of like, how do you define ugly? I can't define ugly, but I know it when I see it. Amen? I can't define what it is that makes a man appear effeminate in his actions and his clothing, but if I see it, I'll go, that guy's not right. Okay? I can't always define how a woman is to dress and to appear, but I know it when I see it. And the sad part of it is becoming all too common now. And you've seen these people. You've seen these, and I use this word butch, you've seen these butch lesbian types walking around. Their whole goal is to look like and emulate the dress, the appearance, the actions, and the temperament of a man. Usually, and they're usually hooked up with another lesbian that is sort of like the female part of that couple. Okay? And it's just, God said it's an abomination. I agree to it. Okay? And it applies to everybody. Okay? Here in America, anything's open now in America. But bless God, over there in Kenya, they don't put up with that stuff over there. You go to Kenya, there's still laws outlawing sodomy, outlawing man wearing a woman's apparel, and vice versa. Michael told Mike Hutzel, when we was over there in 2014, he was noticing that you know, a lot of the dress, especially of the young generation, the teenagers. They didn't have their pants pulled down to their knees. The men, these women didn't go out dressed lascivious. And Michael told him, he said, no, 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 no. He said, if a woman comes out of her house dressed like a harlot, he said, the people in that neighborhood will catch her and strip her down to nothing and make her go home in shame. He said, they don't put up with that stuff over there. Bless God for that. Amen? Okay. Now that's in the civilized areas of Kenya. Okay. In some of the areas of Kenya where we broadcast, it's old school Africa. That's all I'm going to say. You get it? Tarzan movie type stuff. All right. So anyway, it's open game here. And this came home to roost here not too long ago when this boy at Hillsboro High School, whose name is Noah, but he wants everybody to call it, what was his? Lila. Okay? Matthew knew him when he went to school there. He said, Dad, he's been gay ever since I've known him. Out with it. And here's the bizarre thing that was going on at the time they had this big rally for him. He was a cross-dressing homosexual that was having a relationship with a cross-dressing girl. He was dressing as a woman and was in a relationship with a girl that was dressing as a man. I'm too tired to even fume over that. Okay? Watch this. Listen, I'm going to tell you, there's a spirit here. And God knows it. You watch this. Let's turn to Revelation 9. Let's look and see where this comes from. Because I got the verse up there, but I want to get the context of it. Revelation chapter 9. Lost my lid. Revelation 9, verse 1, the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. My theory is, this is Lucifer. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Fallen from heaven, son of the morning. How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? So I think at this point, and I could be wrong, okay? It doesn't say Lucifer, so there you have it. That's just my little deal. But there's no doubt that this stars in the Bible are always angels. Always. There are no exceptions to that. Notice that it gives it a hymn. Okay? It personifies this star. This is not a chunk of space rock plummeting to the earth that crashes and opens up a portal. This is an intelligent being that is designated as a star, which means it is an angel. The sons of God. The host of heaven, the stars of the heavens, all right? A star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Who had that key before that? Jesus did. He said, I'm he that has the keys. I open and no man shutteth. I shut and no man openeth. Jesus was the one who shut the door of the ark, sealed him up in there and said, this is it, this is how it's going to be. He is also the one that opened that ark back up in Genesis chapter 8 and let all the animals out, Noah and everybody else. But he deliberately, this angel did not steal this key. He did not catch Jesus with his head turned one day and grab the keys from him. He was not like Otis the drunk on Andy Griffith who just walks in, grabs the keys at will and locks himself in the jail cell. Okay? It was given to him. Christ, think about this. God is saying now, whatever I've got locked in there, I'm ready to let it out. Okay? And so in verse 2, he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpion to the earth hath power. Now what you're looking at here is spirits, devils. These are angels that have been locked up in this habitation. They are very evil and they serve a purpose, and God is letting them out to serve that purpose. Think about literal locusts. Okay? What are these locusts? What if you have a horde of locusts flying through your town? What are they going to do? They're going to eat every leaf and vegetation in sight. They're going to pick it clean and move on. All right. And so in verse 4, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree. Now, that is not your typical locust. They're not targeting the trees and the grass and the leaves, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. That goes back to Revelation chapter 7. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And again, I'll just throw in here because, I mean, I think this is what's going to happen. I think for 5 months, nobody on planet Earth is going to die for 5 months. Everybody's going to live. There is not going to be a funeral, a grave digging. There's not going to be anything for 5 whole months anywhere on planet Earth. But, and see, let me tell you something. This is where man's going. He's reaching for this right now. Man is reaching for immortality. He's going to let his genetics be altered. He's going to hook himself up with technology that's going to alter him and allow him to live for an indefinite period of time. Man is wanting this right now. God is going to give man what they wanted. And when they get it, it's typical. It's typical of a father doing that with us. Sometimes we'll want something. God will let us have a little taste of it just to show us you don't really want this. Okay? So, and then it goes on to talk about the shapes of the locust. And if you look in verse 7, the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared into battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold. Now, when you look, their faces were as the faces of men. That means they had a masculine face. But, verse 8, and they had the hair as the hair of women. That means they had a feminine appearance as well. They were an androgynous being. They were both male and female together in the same body. Okay? I cannot begin to tell you the number of myths that I've looked into. Stories about old gods. Apollo. Bacchus. Dionysus. Old Greek and Roman gods that were androgynous gods. They were both male and female at the same time. All right? And that's who... Let me tell you something. That there, that spirit is from Revelation 9. That's the spirit that is driving the sodomite, transgendered agenda in this nation, in this world, but particularly in this nation. God's going to... If this is what they want, God's going to unleash it on them. God's going to give them their gods. Because their gods are androgynous. They have the face of a man. Look at... He's not fooling... I spotted a mile away. Okay? Now, if you have not seen that video, what I did was I found out that they were going to have this big party for this guy and celebrate him and honor him at Hillsboro Park. So I told Lisa, I said, I want to go over there and I want to take my video camera and I'm just going to film what everybody does and what everybody says. And I pretty much was a fly on the wall. I did not inject myself into anything except for at one point, and he was up standing there in the gazebo and he had all of his sodomite, transgendered people surrounding him, including one of their ministers, and everybody was in support of him. And there was a couple of news outlets that were there, and they were throwing him all these softball questions, you know, this and that and the other. But no one was quizzing him or questioning him about if he was doing wrong or not. No one was. And so I'm there with my video camera, and I'm recording an interview that somebody, it might have been from NPR or something like that, I don't know, but he was interviewing Noah, standing on that gazebo, and he was asking him again all these softball questions, you know, how do you feel about the support you're getting, and you know, how do you feel about this, and how do you feel about that, and blah, 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 all this stuff. And I can't remember what the guy asked, and I thought, I got to ask him. And so I said to him, I said, would it then be okay for another male student to go into the girls' bathroom or locker room? And he said, no. And I said, would it be okay for any of the male teachers to go into the girls' locker room or girls' bathroom? And he said, I don't think it would be right for any boy to go into a girls' bathroom. And this is what he said. He looked me right in the eye and said, I am not a boy. Okay? And that's what I call the video. You'll find it on YouTube. You got to watch it. But clear, and I didn't, you know, you always think of these things afterward. And what I wanted to ask him was, well, how come you have a Y chromosome? Genetically, you're a boy. Your parents gave birth to a boy, and that's what they put on the birth certificate. And I didn't get any farther than that, but anatomically, he's a boy. All he did was put a wig and a dress on and stuff a bra. That's all he did. But he now our country, everybody has to bow down to this. If a person one day says, I'm a woman, according to Obama, they have a right to go anywhere they want to go without fear of reprisal whatsoever. They can change their mind the next day. Well, today they felt like a woman. So that qualifies. Now we have to bow down to them. Now our girls are going to be in danger of perverts going in their locker room and their bathroom. Okay? That's the spirit that we've unleashed in this country. Okay? And we're getting a little taste now of Revelation 9 right here. God is wise in telling us not to have anything to do with that nonsense. Okay? And I've seen pastors do stunts to get YouTube video views when they come out during the church service dressed up like a woman because it was some stunt to get people to come in the doors. That is an abomination. Amen? Amen. Amen. Take a look at this symbol up here on the screen. Okay? That is called the yin-yang. It is a fundamental part of Eastern philosophy, Eastern religion, Taoism, Buddhism, Hinduism, different Eastern mystic philosophies. This symbol is on the South Korean flag. It's a very prominent symbol. And it's the concept, yin and yang are opposites. One is male and one is female. One is light and one is dark. One is white as one is black. One is good and one is evil. Okay? And there's the whole mythology that goes into this about how the world was created and how you and I came on the scene. And it involves this idea of yin and yang. But the yin and yang symbol says there's a little light in all darkness and there's a little darkness in all light. But the Bible says that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. This is not our God. But He is the God that's being promoted right now. You just get a hold of it, okay? You've heard me say this over and over. I think we're approaching the day of the Lord. There's no doubt in my mind about it. When it's going to happen, I don't have a clue. But I think mankind is going to be given a choice. Mankind is going to have to choose between the real Jesus and the fake one. Those who can, from the Bible, identify the real Jesus, they'll do it. They'll see this Antichrist that all the false prophets are going to say, that's our Messiah, that's our Savior, that's Jesus, that's Buddha, that's whatever. And I think that their Christ is an androgynous Christ. I think He is. Male, female, together. And God's people are going to go, no, I don't think so. Okay? He's the Son of God. Not the son/daughter of God. And I've read articles online from pastors who are writing about God's gender. People ask, you know, is God masculine? Does he have a gender? And these pastors will say, well, God is above that. He's a spirit. And so he chooses to identify himself to mankind as such, but God is genderless. And I'm going, no. I don't know what verse that is in the Bible, but as far as I know, it doesn't exist. God is the Father. Jesus is the Son. That makes them both masculine. And I don't care where you point to in the Bible, every time you find a reference to God, it's always in the masculine. He did this. He, him, his, the Father, the Son. There's even those that are saying that, yes, God is masculine, but the Holy Spirit is feminine. And God and the Holy Spirit joined together to create Jesus, who is the perfect balance of both male and female aspects of God. And I'm going, that is crazy. There's no Bible that says, well, actually, that's not true. Okay? Years ago, I know the bell rang. Let me finish. Years ago, I was sitting at a church at a funeral, and they had pew Bibles. You know me. So I pulled it out. I'd never heard of this particular version, but it was a gender-neutral Bible that had come out years ago before any of the gender-neutral Bibles really came on the scene. Zondervan tried to push the gender-neutral Bible back in the 90s, the NIV version, where they gender-neutral God. They turn him into it, or they just say God or whatever, but they take away his masculinity. It didn't go over very well in America. So they pulled it off the shelves, and then about 10 years ago, they relabeled it today's NIV. And the current version of the NIV Bible is the gender-neutral Bible that they tried to sell in the 90s and they couldn't sell to anybody. Okay? So what they're doing is, through those Bibles, they're setting up for belief in a God that is both male and female. So that when this beast, when this Antichrist comes on the scene, you're going to have church people going to follow that. Because that's what their Bible told them to do. See how it's important that you get the right one. Amen?